You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right to our phone callers. First up today is Ron in Prescott, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. Will there be any signs before the second advent? And if you have time, maybe comment on the hypothesis that if Israel strikes Iran, it will trigger the Gog-Magog war of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Well, I don't think that Israel attacking Iran has anything to do with Gog and Magog, Gog being the ruler of a territory. But this is simply wild and random speculation that people have, has nothing to do with biblical prophecy whatsoever. The biblical prophecies have been fulfilled, save the fact that Jesus has promised that he will appear a second time. And when he does, the dead will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. The universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And we will live in a restored universe with a resurrected Christ. The problem of sin and Satan will forever have been diminished to a point of being completely undone. So there will be no more sin. There will be no more Satan. So that's what we look forward to. But the Bible says nothing whatsoever about what is going to happen between Israel and Iran. And anyone that supposes it does simply has no concept of how to read the Bible for all it's worth. Remember that Ezekiel was prophesying from the dusty environs of a refugee camp near the Kibar River. And he was looking forward to a second temple, a temple that would be built at the time of Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. And he ultimately was looking forward, as we all do, to a new Jerusalem. And in that new Jerusalem, the temple will not be built out of glistening gold or luminous limestone. The temple is Jesus Christ himself. In fact, we are stones in the temple of God. So to suppose somehow or other that you can get out of Ezekiel something that's going to happen between Israel and Iran in the 21st century is to abuse Scripture as opposed to reading Scripture for all it's worth.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jeremy in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on the web. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Hank, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've got a relative who's just a great gal, sweet spirit, and we got on a conversation about a book by Perry Stone, and I can't really remember the title. It's like Fire on the Altar. Are you familiar with that?
I'm familiar with Perry Stone, but I haven't read that particular book. I gave up on Perry Stone a long time ago. He practices newspaper eschatology. He endorses ludicrous things such as Bible codes. He propagates sensationalistic stories of Bible prophecy being fulfilled in modern Israel, and on it goes. So he is a sophist and a sensationalist, and that's hardly what we ought to be as Christians who are trying to reach out to a lost and searching world.
Yes, I agree. And there's, I guess this book is talking about speaking in tongues. And I listen to you 4 hours a day on your podcast, and I hear you talk about speaking in tongues a lot. But there is something in there she told me about a prayer language. talks about, or that he talks about how the Spirit speaks through you because the Spirit knows you better than you know yourself?
Well, yes, and certainly this is something that Christians can agree to disagree on. I mean, I don't particularly agree with any of that, but it is a secondary issue that honest Christians can debate vigorously and ultimately don't have to divide over. But the notion that there is a prayer language that you could use in your communication with God, I think, goes beyond what the Scripture says or is an improper interpretation of what the Scripture says.
Right, and I told her, the disciples asked Jesus how we should pray, and he answered the question, and it didn't say anything about a prayer language, so that's the only thing I told her. I wasn't really sure.
Well, no, that's a good answer, and I wrote a book called The Prayer of Jesus to give you the essence of what it means to pray in a faithful and fruitful manner, and that book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Good talking to you. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Josh in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was just out of curiosity. God created Adam with age being not a baby. Is it also not possible that God could have created the earth with age?
Well, first of all, I don't think God created Adam with the appearance of age. If he did, the Bible simply doesn't tell us that God created Adam that way. In other words, was Adam created with calluses on his feet? Did he have a belly button? Was he fashioned replete with childhood memories? Again, we'd think the answer to that question is no, but we simply don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us. But I would make a further point, and that is the notion that God created his handiwork with the appearance of age is logically unfalsifiable. In other words, you can neither prove this premise, nor can you disprove it. And I've often used the example, how could you prove false the notion that you were created 5 seconds ago, and that your recollection of the previous statement that I just made is just an implanted memory? And then there's a very good example, I think, that would help people to understand why this is a notion that's untenable. And that is, consider an observable astronomical event like supernova 1987A. And in fact, I've written about this in my Creation Answer book as an example. This was an event with an identifiable before and after. So prior to 1987, the supernova was a star in a distant galaxy 168,000 light years away. And then on February 23, 1987, the star explodes and it becomes a supernova. In other words, think about this. 168,000 years ago, the star exploded. And in 1987, the light of that event finally reached Earth. Unless, of course, God created the universe 6,000 years ago. If that's the case, then the supernova might well be likened to a documentary film of an event that, well, never really happened. So the notion that the universe is not authentically old, but merely appears to be old, I think, creates more problems than it solves. And I don't think a good teacher would ask students to put faith in a textbook that's intentionally filled with lies or deceptions. What are we told in Romans 1:20? We can know something about God by looking at the created handiwork that he's given to us. Which is to say that we can do something that Aristotle and Socrates could not. We don't have to believe in a universe ministered by moody gods because we have more than reason. Reason left to itself always ends up in the blind ditch of ignorance. What we have is reason augmented by revelation, and in fact, that gave rise to science. So science wasn't the purview of philosophical naturalists scratching their heads. It was something that came out of a Christian worldview. And so this notion that science and scripture somehow or other at odds is simply false. The problem is people like Bill Nye are stuck in 19th century science. And not only that, people like Bill Nye don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. In other words, he doesn't understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. So he reads all kinds of weird and wacky meanings into the Word of God, and certainly we don't want to follow in his train. Again, I've written about this in the Creation Answer book, Answers to the Most Common and Controversial Questions About Creation. Be right back with more answers to your questions.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Thank you. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Peter, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I just want to tell you that I really, really appreciate a voice speaking out about the pre-tribulation rapture. I hadn't heard of any in so long. With I had despaired of anybody ever actually, you know, speaking out about the truth of what the Bible actually says about that, and it's refreshing. But I do have one question that I've always pondered myself in my own reading of the Bible as to what effect the water vapor, water barrier that covered the earth prior to the flood, what effect that would have had after the flood, and the fact that ages obviously very quickly deteriorated, and I'm sure the solar radiation that would have just bombarded the earth would have accelerated any kind of deterioration or decay that we now experience in the creation. And I'll just hang up and listen to what you have to say. Thank you, Hank.
You got it, Peter. And, of course, what is in view here is what's called the canopy theory. And the question is this really credible in age of scientific enlightenment? And I would say, no, it's not. The canopy theory posits a blanket of water vapor that separated the water under the sky from the water above it. That is, until the time of the flood. And the theory is used to account for everything from the water necessary for a global flood to the greenhouse effect necessary for human longevity. But the death knell to this theory is that the waters above the skies depicted in Genesis and the expanse holding them back are found in the biblical text after Noah's flood, just as they were found before Noah's flood. As has now been noted by some very credible young earth creationists, a blanket of water vapor prior to the flood would have made the surface of the earth intolerably hot. So a vapor canopy could not have been a significant source for the waters of the flood. Much more could be said about this, but I think that's probably sufficient. It is a question that I've dealt with as well in the Creation Answer Book. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ben next. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Ben.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Reading as God Spoken right now and really enjoying it. I appreciate your ministry in all different ways. So my question has to do with spiritual warfare, and I'm trying to figure out if it is just a war that's going on within me that's created by the positive and negative that's in me as a person and the flesh and all that involved, or is there really spirits, demons, if you will, that run around and plant seeds in my head of thoughts? And I know it may be difficult to define it without particulars on a situation, and I don't have any, but I guess what I'm asking you is, what is your take on whether or not there are spirits speaking into my head different things?
Yeah.
Or in people's heads.
Sure. Well, spiritual warfare is as real as the flesh upon your bones. And I think that what we should recognize is that we fight the world, the flesh, and the devil, and very often we cannot tell where the temptation is coming from, whether it's the world, whether it's the flesh, or whether it's the devil. And I don't know that it's all that important to be able to discern that. What's really important is to do what the Apostle Paul tells us to do in Ephesians chapter 6, and that is put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against principalities and powers of darkness. If you put on the full armor of God, then you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. And to that end, I actually wrote a book on this because I thought it was such an important subject to broach. It's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. But yeah, let me say one other thing, just in postscript to your question, just thinking about that as I concluded my remarks, and that is that so often what happens in spiritual warfare is we overestimate the power of Satan or we underestimate the power of Satan. So it is true that Satan cannot zap you, he cannot lift you up and throw you against a wall, he can't hit you, because he's non-physical. but he can, as it were, sit on your shoulder and whisper into your ear. The whisper cannot be heard with the physical ear, but it does penetrate the ear of the mind. Now, can I explain how that works? No. I can't explain how the mind can cause the physical synapses of the brain to fire, nor can modern science. But that both propositions are true is absolutely credible in an age of scientific enlightenment. So there is real spiritual warfare. Satan is tempting you, and therefore you are vulnerable unless you learn to put on the full armor of God.
Thank you. That was a very good answer. And I'd like to say as just some encouragement to you. Years ago, I started listening to your program, and you came to a church here in Kansas City, and I did not have a church home, nor did I regularly attend church. And but because I heard you were going there and I listened to you on the radio, I started a journey of going to church on a regular basis. So in a lot of ways, you've led me to Christ in a relationship that I value very much. So thank you for all you do. God bless you, and keep it up, man.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for those wonderful words. You have quite literally made my day. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Chester in Peoria, Illinois. Hi, Chester.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. All right. I got a question, and the question is, during the millennium, is there a second chance for salvation during the millennium if you didn't get it right before that time, and you, whether you died in Christ or died out of Christ? The reason I'm asking it is because there was a topic that came up in Bible class, and there was a minister that was saying that if you didn't get it right, you'd have a chance to get it right in the millennium when Christ come back and his angels and stuff, and they be preaching to you, so you have a chance to get it right if you didn't get it right the first time. I wonder what was your take on that?
Well, Chester, is a very good question, but my take on this is to deny the notion of the millennium. I don't believe that there is a semi-golden age of 1,000 years. I believe that when Jesus returns, or when Jesus appears a second time, as the book of Hebrews puts it, then the eternal state will ensue. So I believe what the scripture makes plain, and that is it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the resurrection and the judgment. So there's judgment that comes after death, and there isn't a second chance. You know, there is this notion, of course, that there is a secret coming of Jesus Christ, then a tribulation period, then a second coming of Jesus Christ, and then a millennial reign. But I don't find that to be explicitly taught in Scripture. And I think that the apocalyptic language from which this is derived in Revelation chapter 20 needs to be interpreted in light of the whole of Scripture rather than taking a paradigm and imposing it on that particular passage. One has to wonder, Chester, if there is literally a 1,000-year semi-golden age, why didn't Jesus or any of the other disciples speak about it anywhere else in the Scripture? Seems to me if there was going to be a millennial temple, a millennial rule of Jesus Christ with reinstituted temple sacrifices that serve to atone for sin, as people like Tim LaHaye contend, then Jesus would have been explicit about this. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, you think about this. My dad died in 1997. If the millennial paradigm is true, my dad is now going to be subjected to coming back to a cursed creation, and that for 1,000 years. And then he'll experience, in the millennial view, the greatest apostasy in the history of humanity. Gog and Magog to gather them for battle. In number, they're like the sand of the seashore. So Jesus is reigning over a semi-golden age, and then you have this great apostasy. Wow, my dad is going to have to endure that? I don't think that's the great and glorious hope of resurrection. No, the great and glorious hope of resurrection is when Jesus appears a second time, he is going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and he's going to inherit a transformed universe. No more death, no more crying, no more pain. The old order of things has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Got to leave it at that. But if you want further information on this, you can check it out in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. We've dealt with a lot of controversial issues on this program. And I've oftentimes said controversy for the sake of controversy is sin, but controversy for the sake of truth is a divine command. What I say oftentimes is not popular, but what I exhort each one of you to do is test all things in light of Scripture, then hold fast that which is good. Don't hold it because I say it or your preacher says it. Hold fast to it because it corresponds to what the infallible repository of redemptive revelation says. We'll be back right here tomorrow with more answers to your questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned for that.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.